Snow's Garden Center. Discover nature by design for a beautiful view. Snow's knows how to make it all easy for you. When it comes to landscaping and gardening, who knows how to create the perfect scene? Snow knows. Snow's Garden Center.
Good morning and welcome to the Snow Nose Gardening Show here on AM 1070 on this kind of gusty, little breezy Saturday morning. We'll say windy because it's not windy yet, but a little bit gusty out there. Other than that, it's a little cloudy, but a beautiful morning nonetheless. Any morning when you're up and healthy and moving around is a good morning. I tell you, what a week this has been between the weather and geology in the area and everything. It's been a fun week, but we are here for the next hour to help take your mind off that a little bit, and we'll talk some gardening, some things that you can do to help make your corner of the world a little bit more beautiful, a little bit more enjoyable. Give us a call at 977-1070, and we'd be glad to help you out with any of the challenges that you're finding out in your landscaping, in your gardening, anything with your lawn, your trees and shrubs, your flowers, your houseplants, anything with leaves and roots, give us a call and we'll help you out with it, give you some of the best, most up-to-date local information on things that you can do to be successful out in the garden. A couple things a couple little housekeeping things to kind of get out of the way early on so we don't forget about it, don't get tied up with so many phone calls that we can't get the information out there to you. Finishing up today is our Snow's yard sale. We've had a bunch of stuff that we've kind of cleaned out of the closets and the corners and the pockets around the garden center and the nursery, and have put on very, very drastic sale. And we've cleared out quite a bit of stuff, but we've still got some things left, and that finishes up today. So if you go through 5 o'clock today, you can come out to the garden center and still take advantage of some of these really, really great deals that we've got on some great product out there. That, you know, some of the plant material just need a good home, need to get out into the ground, and they'll be fine. Some of the other things are just discontinued items, things that, you know, one of a kind leftovers that kind of got forgotten about. And we just need to clear them out. Again, it's good stuff. There's nothing wrong with it or anything. It's just stuff that it's time to send it on its way. So we've still got a good selection of merchandise that you can come by and pick up at a really, really good savings. So through 5 o'clock today out at the garden center, you can come by and pick up the tail end of our yard sale and like I say, pick up on some great bargains. Within just a very short period of time, we're going to be full heavy into lawn seeding season. So just, you know, keep that in mind. We've got some things that you can do to kind of prep yourself for that, and we'll be talking about that a little bit. And also maybe a few things that you can do in preparation for – thankfully, we're not going to get a whole lot of rain out of this hurricane that's coming through. Other areas in the state and certainly in the Northeast here are going to be getting a lot more and having to deal with a lot more wind than we are. And of course, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with the people that are really into the center of this thing. But there are a few things that you can keep in mind, things that you can do around your home that are good, not just for, you know, when we have these extreme major events like this, but also just for the run-of-the-mill summer thunderstorms that we have coming through that, believe it or not, can do in just a short period of time a significant amount of damage around your home as well. So we'll talk maybe a little bit about that also. One of the things that we talked about last night just on the the CBS News thing that I do each week, is just taking a quick survey around your home, making sure that you've got everything battened down. And this is, like I say, this is a good thing to do all the time in this area when we get dealing with the thunderstorms and things like that. Just a few minutes of walking around your lawn and your gardens, just surveying what you've got out there, can make a big difference when, you know, we have some of these big wind events come through. Again, this doesn't look like it's going to be anything real severe, although, you know, they're still calling for sustained winds, 20, 25 miles an hour, and gusts up to around 40. But just things like making sure that you've got a secure area to store things like your trash cans, your kids' toys, some of the other things that wind can get up under and move around.
The little $5 pool you picked up at Walmart,
right,
that you thought was safely secure against the back deck. But in the last week, it flipped over. It's now full of 12 inches of water, and there's mosquitoes getting ready to hatch. So, you know, things like that that just kind of sneak up on you.
That's right. And, you know, it's a quick and easy thing to do, just to take a quick walk around the outside of the home and just take a good survey of all of those things like that, and be real, do it with a critical eye of what, you know, what would happen if we had 50 miles an hour worth of wind coming up underneath of it.
And not only that, what I did last week with the when they were calling for the severe thunderstorms, it's a great opportunity to clean your gutters out, get your ladder out, and just, you don't have to clean all the individual runs of the gutters, but if you can at least go through where the gutter connects to the downspouts and make sure there's nothing clogging. I had noticed in one of mine that a lot of water was coming over the gutters, and sure enough, climbed up there, and just a little bit of debris just stuffed right down that hole where that downspout meets the gutter. That's all it takes to clog it so the water can't pass, and the water had backed up, and the whole gutter was full of water, and this was, you know, it had been days since rain, and took that debris out, the water just sucks right down, and it's flowing again. So
problem solved.
Yeah, and that can cause a whole lot of damage to your foundation. If you're allowing all that water to run over, it's going to flow right over, it's going to just sit right against your house, your foundation of your home, which can do some really good damage to your house.
And not only that, but as it flows over the top of the gutter along the house itself, you can actually
siding.
Get water coming into the soffits and into the eaves and along the roof line of the house, and doing, which, you know, over time can lead to some structural damage on the house. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of things other than just, you know, keep your gutters clean. The water's not flowing over top of them, and it's not pretty when it rains. It's a lot more than that. It's you know, can lead to some serious structural issues with the house and water in the basement and all of those kinds of things. So it really is important to keep those gutters clear and make sure that water can flow off the roof line and away from the house the way it should. In conjunction with that, not just the gutters need to be cleaned, but you also need to see a lot of homes have the corrugated black piping that runs from the downspout out into the yard to get that water out away from the foundation of the house. And you need to make sure that those lines are flowing freely. And it's a pretty easy thing to do. Just stick the hose down into the downspout or into the downspout end of that black pipe, and then see where the water is. Make sure that water is actually flowing out somewhere down in the yard, and make sure that the end of that pipe is not crushed, that it's not got a bunch of vegetation in front of it, grass growing around it. Make sure that the water is flowing out of there freely. And if not, a lot of times you can just by pushing a bunch of water through there, you can actually flush it out, or you can take a pipe snake and clean it out quite easily that way.
If you'd like to join the show, the phone lines are wide open. You can give us a call at 977-1070. Again, that number is 977-1070. I apologize for running a little bit late this morning. We had all the good intentions of waking up early, set my alarm at 6:30, and it went off, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to turn my alarm clock off this morning so it doesn't just keep snoozing and waking me up. I was like, I've got two babies. Surely one of them will wake up before, you know, 8 o'clock, and, you know, I'll jump up and be to the radio station plenty of time. The first cry of any of the kids, any of the babies, was about 8:45. Of course, the show starts shortly after 9. So it's just one of those oddities that once in a while, babies do sleep in. I mean, their normal schedule is waking up at 7 a.m., so that was a nice extra hour and 45 minutes for all of us this morning. Again, if you'd like to join the phone lines, they're wide open. The number is 977-1070. We'd love to take your gardening questions and answer your phone calls. Norman was talking about the earthquake as I was listening, coming into the studios this morning. And just want to report that everything is A-OK out at the garden center. All of the flowers, we were so very proud of all of them. They just did a wonderful job, and they all came out of it relatively well, except for those pansies. I'll tell you what, man. Those pansies, just a bunch of little crybabies. They just didn't have a good time at all.
I tell you, it was really kind of weird to look out there, you know, as it was happening. Look out across the nursery and see all of the leaves on the shrubs and everything just out there, just quivering. It looked like it was really odd, just seeing the leaves just shake and vibrate on the plants all through the nursery.
If you'd like to join the conversation, 977-1070. We'll take your garden question. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning. This is going to be another, gosh, if I had just gotten up a little earlier, I could have done this before I got on the phone, but didn't do it. So now, could you give us a little primer on when to transplant shrubs and small trees? We've had, you know, maybe some seedlings come up that we've been protecting, and we need to put them in a different place, and fall's the time to do it.
Yeah.
When should we do different things?
Great. That's a wonderful question, because we are coming up on an excellent transplant season. You know, if I had to take my pick whether to transplant things in the spring or the fall, I would pick the fall every time.
Good.
And there's a few things you can do. One is a little thing prior to actually digging up and moving it is going through and doing some root pruning. What you want to do is take your spade or your shovel and go out to the shrub or the small tree, whatever it is, and take your spade right around the trunk of the tree, maybe go out the diameter, you know, depending on the size of it.
About the diameter of the root ball that you need to
dig it
up
to transplant it
with the plant. In other words, you know, if it's a shrub that's about 3 feet tall, then you know you come out about between a foot and 18 inches away from the trunk.
Yeah, and take your spade, and you want to just take your shovel, your spade, and stick it right in the ground, and drive your foot, you know, the shovel right through the ground, and go all the way around the tree or the shrub that you're going to transplant. And what's that is going to do? It's going to sever all those roots. It's going to prepare the shrub or the tree for being transplanted, but you're actually going to leave it in the ground for a few weeks, and that'll prepare it so it doesn't get initial. It just kind of builds it up so it doesn't get the transplant shock won't be as nearly severe. There's still going to be some element of shock when you uproot it and move it, but it just kind of breaks it in, kind of lessens the stress that it's going to put. And it also, in that short time period, it'll get lots of little fibrous roots that'll start to grow, and you'll just kind of invigorate the root system. Norm?
Right. It allows those roots to start the process of branching out into what's going to be the new root ball, and gets that root growth process started, so that when you move it into its new home, it's that much further along. It's got some of those feeder roots that are starting to develop in that new root ball that is going to give you that much of a head start into the reestablishment process. And when you stick the shovel or the spade down into the soil, all you're doing is you drive it straight down and pull it straight back up. You don't pry, you don't twist, you don't do anything. You just drive it straight down into the ground.
You're not trying to scoop under to remove it and pry it up like normal, to just straight up and down.
Right, just push it in and take it right back out again, because all you want to do is stick it down into the soil and guillotine off those roots. Just clip those roots off. And that'll help to encourage the branching to start and get that new root growth started. In addition to that, once you've done that, it would be a good idea to water the plant with some root master solution that will also that's got a root hormone in it that will actually encourage the formation of those new roots, especially right around the areas where it was cut. And again, that'll get you that much further along in the
process.
And
that's just a concentrated liquid that you mix in with water and just pour it right around the base and trunk of the shrub or tree.
So the ground's going to get all nice and softened with all the great rain.
Exactly.
We can go out and do the root pruning when the ground's soft. And
yep.
How long should we leave that root ball sitting there before we pick it up and put it to its new place?
For most things, I would, you know, they transplant a little bit better as they're going into dormancy. So if timing is not really an issue other than, you know, whatever is best for the plant, you know, in some situations you've got construction going on or something like that where you've got a deadline, hey, they're coming on Tuesday, I need to get it done by Monday night. If that's not an issue, if you can pick the time, then I would go with mid to late October.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So root ball pruning right now would be a great time to do it, and then wait until mid to late October to dig it up and move it.
Yeah,
right.
Great advice.
And when you dig it up and move it, make sure you get a nice, good, healthy root ball on it. You know, buy some burlap, something that you can slip underneath the entire root ball that's going to help keep it intact. Tie it tightly around the root ball. That'll help secure it during the move, or if it has to sit, you know, overnight or a couple days, it'll just help keep everything intact, help retain moisture. But just keep that root ball and all the roots, you know, closely together, and then you can pick it up, and it'll actually make it a little bit easier to move as well. Having a burlap sack, you know, the burlap fabric around it will enable you to move it a little bit easier, and then you can sit that right down the hole, and that burlap will, you know, biodegrade. You can leave it on there, just take it back off the trunk and just kind of shove it down the hole and just leave the burlap around it when you replant it.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. You have given us great instructions and good timing.
Great.
Well,
thank you for your phone call.
Thanks.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.
If you'd like to join the show, the phone lines are wide open, 977-1070. Give us a call. Did you have anything else to add, Norm?
Well, you actually brought up a couple of good points. You know, a lot of times if you're moving a plant around, just around the yard, you don't think about necessarily using burlap on it. And the burlap really does serve a lot of functions. Obviously, plants that are being dug and loaded up on a truck and moved out for retail sale or sale to a landscape company or something like that. Obviously, the burlap is important to keep the root ball in play, you know, intact and cared for and contained and all of that in the transportation process. But a lot of times, just moving around the yard, we don't think about it that much. But the burlap really does serve several different purposes. One is, as you say, it makes it much easier to manage the root ball and maneuver it around, and gives you some handles to hold on to.
And just a quick snows tip that we use on landscape jobs, we'll take the burlap and we'll tie it, and then we'll take the end of a shovel, the handle of a shovel, and we'll stick it through the top of the burlap, and then two people, you know, can get on either side of the handle, and you can carry it that way.
Right.
You know, once you tie your burlap at the top, tie a good knot, and it allows you to stick the long end of the shovel through the burlap, and then you can just get on either side of it and just carry it.
Right. Makes it a lot easier to transport that way. But almost more important than that, but it goes kind of hand in hand, is how well it helps to contain the soil and keep that root ball intact, which is very, very important as you're moving the plant around, even just getting it up out of the hole. All of the most important roots that are down there in the soil are not the big, heavy structural roots.
Right.
They're the little fine hair roots that are around the root ball. Those are the roots that actually
do the
work of absorbing nutrient, absorbing water, and keeping the top part of the plant nourished. And those roots are actually very, very fragile. And as you get moving that root ball around, and that soil starts getting shaken and jostled around and starts to collapse and fall off.
Oh, it's not uncommon to lose a whole side of a root ball. All of a sudden it'll just fall off, and bam, there goes all your roots.
Right. So having that burlap wrapped around there good and securely helps to secure that soil around there and help to minimize the damage to that root system. Even if all you're doing is carrying it from one side of the yard to the other, it really is.
And the great thing about burlap, it's extremely inexpensive. It's one of those garden tools that you should have a roll of it just sitting in your garage. There's lots of functions, lots of use for it that you can use on a seasonal, you know, occasion. Let's go back to the phone lines. We're going to try to squeeze in one more phone call. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Hi, my name's John, and I have a question about raspberry bushes.
Okay.
I planted a raspberry bush a year ago last spring. I pinched the flowers back last summer, and this year I just have this huge bush with no flowers at all. Now, when the fall comes, do I cut them all back, or what do I do?
Raspberries actually fruit on, the flowers for next year are on the new canes that came up this spring. Anything that's older than that isn't going to produce any more flowers. So if you've got canes that are a couple of years old, go in and prune out those older canes and allow those ones that came up this year to take priority. They're the ones that are actually going to have flowers and fruit on for next season.
So if all I see mostly right now is all new growth that came up this year, I should not cut any of that back.
Right. Leave that alone. If it's very, very thick and dense and you know, almost too crowded, you can go in and thin out some of the smaller, weaker ones to allow the stronger, healthier ones room to mature and to grow and get air and circulation and all of that. And then, obviously, anything that's older than this season, you can go ahead and take that out. But the ones that came up this year, you don't want to trim them back any. You don't want to do any pruning to them at all, other than, like I say, going in there and thinning things out a little bit if you need to, and taking out all the older growth.
Well, so it's a general rule of thumb that if it produced fruit this year at the end of the season, that cane ought to be cut.
Correct. Because it won't bear any additional fruit. It's just going to, you know, age and take up space and take energy and everything away from the root system.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful call. Thank you so much. We've got to take a quick break. Please call in after the break at 977-1070. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show on AM 1070 WINA. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show, the most listened to weekend talk radio show in Central Virginia since the spring of 1950. I'm Corbin Snow, the minister of mulch, and to my right, your left is
Norm Carlson,
the professor of plants, and we're here for the next half an hour to take your gardening questions and answer your phone calls. Give us a call. The phone lines are cleared out. They're wiped clean. We dumped 100 callers, so you can be the next one. Just call in right now at 977-1070 to have the first question of the second half of the show. Norm talked about getting a little business out of the way. Want to remind people that the Snow Nose yard sale is ending today at 5 p.m. All the things that we've cleared out of the nursery and that are on special discount. Select perennials and annuals and shrubs and trees are up to 70% off. We've got furniture up to 50% off. Or is that 70% off? 50% off. Furniture. There's lots of good items and things out at the garden center. And it's a beautiful day to come out and stroll the nursery, the garden center. We have brand new arrivals of mums, big, beautiful mums. And we had two or three nursery trucks show up with brand new nursery stock, fresh from the growers, locally grown azaleas, and all sorts of shrubs came in this week.
Mm-hmm. Some azaleas, some hollies, boxwoods, nandinas.
Lots of brand new inventory for you to come out and select and see, which there's nothing better than brand new, fresh shrubs. They just look gorgeous. They look really, really good.
You got some beautiful perennials in, some beautiful fresh heuchera, and anemones.
So we're stocked and locked and ready for you to come see what we have to offer. The Garden Center looks beautiful this time of year. I love the Garden Center in the fall time as the Carter's Mountain that we back up to as it starts to transition and the foliage and the trees start to change and the temperatures go down. It really is just a beautiful place to stroll the gardens out at Snow's Garden Center. If you've never been to Snow's, we're located just south of downtown Charlottesville at 1875 Avon Street. And just plug that into your GPS, and we're just a short drive. If you're coming from Waynesboro or Stanton, we'd love for you to come over and visit us as well.
If you plug it into your GPS, though, you have to put in 1875 Avon Street Extended.
Extended.
The extended part is...
Okay, good to know.
If you don't put the extended part in there, it throws you off into downtown somewhere and gets
all... And you'll be lost and you'll never find us.
Yeah, the satellite doesn't quite know how to handle it. But
gotcha.
Put the extended on there and it'll get you right to us.
Let's go to the phone lines. If you'd like to join the show, 977-1070. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Yes, I've got some hemlocks that are showing some browning, particularly on the new growth. Is it lack of water, or is there something else after them?
Are these newly planted ones, or ones
that
are...
No, these are very mature.
Okay.
In fact, you're the second person in the last 2 days that I've heard of this problem. One of our customers out of Lake Monticello, Mr. Avers, sent me an email or voicemail late last night. I haven't responded to yet, but he had one that had died, and he's got another one that's turning brown and looking very, you know, like it's on the fringe of dying.
Hmm.
Well, it's not I'm assuming it's a new growth, but it's not necessarily the end of the branches.
Yeah.
Generally, it's spotty. It's all over. We put the treatment for the woolly aged, and it doesn't seem to be any sign of that.
Yeah, usually, that's pretty obvious when you get an infestation of the woolly adelgid on there. It's pretty easy to see when that's there. It shows up as these little white cottony, almost looks like bird droppings on the growth, but it's usually on the underside of the stem, so that kind of separates itself out from, a bird would do it on the top as opposed to on the underside. But it's, very easy to spot just this white cottony mass that's forming along the stem on the underside of the branches, right out, kind of near the newer growth on the underside of the fresh needles. Another thing that we often see on hemlocks, when I say often, we don't see it a lot, but it's one of the more of the problems that hemlocks get. It's one of the more common ones is some spider mite damage, and the way to spot spider mite damage is if you look at the branch tips, you'll see some browning on some of the needles. They'll also look very dirty and kind of dusty, and you may even see some very very mist like webbing around the needles. And if you take a blank sheet of white paper out there and hold it up underneath one of the branches out near the branch tips.
And they're actually one of the really fun ones to get to figure out if you have them or not.
Yeah,
it's like a little science project.
You take that white sheet of paper, hold it underneath the branch tip, and then just tap very vigorously on that branch tip, and you'll see some dust that'll fall off onto the white sheet of paper. And if any of the dust starts to run around, that's an indication that you've got some spider mites on there. And then you can treat it with a horticultural oil or some Mite X, and that will help to get those spider mites under control.
And just to give you a little bit of tip, there's going to be lots of things running around on that paper. So you're looking for something smaller. You're going to have to hold that paper pretty close to your eyes to see the little specks running around. They're not going to be really big insects, but smaller.
Almost.
You can see them with the naked eye, but you've got to look really carefully to notice them.
Right. They're going to be, the specks that are moving around are going to be a fraction the size of a grain of pepper.
Ooh. Okay.
So they're small. So it's just talking about holding it up close to your eye.
Doesn't sound good, does it?
Well, as you start to get a little older, you actually need to hold it even further away.
Yeah.
I'll get a magnifying glass.
There you go. That'll perfect.
Work.
Yeah, but like Norman said, you could treat those with a product called Mitex, and that would take care of them for you.
Mitex. Okay. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you for your phone call. Great question.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hemlocks are a great tree, and one of the great evergreen trees that we've got for this area, native to Virginia. They're a very common plant in the forest up along the Blue Ridge Mountains, particularly in some of the stream runs and some of the wetter areas in through there. Also make great landscape trees. Do have a couple of issues, the woolly adelgid and mites can sometimes be an issue with them, but just a wonderful landscape plant. One of the few evergreen trees that can be managed very effectively with pruning to keep them somewhat small and contained if you want to. And they're wonderful weeping varieties and even some low-growing, almost shrub types, some variegated ones that are great in the landscape. And one of the things that I really love about them is just the fragrance that they have. They have a very unique smell to the needles, just make a great addition to the landscape and a great smell as you're going out there, particularly after a rain or early morning. You get that wonderful evergreen fragrance in the air.
If you'd like to join the show, our number is 977-1070. Again, that number is 977-1070. The phone lines are wide open. A lot of people I know are sitting around their televisions and radio this morning, watching the news and the weather. A lot of exciting things, if you will, going on in our state these last couple days. I've really enjoyed reading some of the posts on Twitter and Facebook and some of the social media outlets. One of my favorites was a guy talking about earthquake Tuesday, Wednesday, Irene expected Saturday, Sunday. Sure, why not? We can squeeze in a severe thunderstorm on Thursday, in which, took trees down and knocked power out and was a real doozy, especially in my part of the country I live in, out off 29 North. I mean, a big severe windstorm came through and uprooted trees, blew them right over, and we lost power for several hours. It was a real scary, dicey little storm. So it's been nothing short but entertaining around here the last week or so.
I tell you what, no shortage of weather to thing type related items to talk about with people. It's been fun.
But thankfully, most of our gardens have come through this Scotch tree, and we haven't seen too much damage in the garden with the trees and shrubs and things that we've seen in past years.
And actually, talking to a guy, one of the truck drivers brought up a load of nursery stock this week, was talking about the hurricane coming in, and they've had a tremendous forest fire down in the Great Dismal Swamp,
yeah,
down in the Suffolk area, and hopefully
this will put
one of the side benefits,
yeah,
of this storm is it's going to be enough rain to put that sucker out finally.
And they've had bog fires all spring and summer down in the Outer Banks area as well.
Yeah,
when we were down there, and there's air quality warnings every day, and thick smoke and dense smoke just rolling through the beach and oceanfront areas. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have a caller on line number one. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning. Love to hear you guys, even when the hurricane is blowing. I'm looking to plant a bunch of trees this fall. I'm not sure how many yet, but, a fair amount. And, of course, I'm itching to do it, but I know it's not time yet. When's it time?
Well, really, you can do it any time, but a lot of the newly dug material won't be available till October and early November. That's when the trees are starting to go dormant and the nurseries will start digging again. Once you start seeing leaves starting to change color and starting to fall, that's when the fall digging season for a lot of the bald and burlap material really kicks into high gear.
But having said that, at Snows and other, in nurseries, that's why it's important you get your orders in, early in the season. We're still stocked with trees. We don't have as many trees in stock right now as we will, in October. Like Norman said, there's certain digging times where the nurseries can actually dig and have their products ready for consumers, which is coming up very shortly. But as far as you, the homeowner, being a good time to plant, I would plant, once again, the fall is the best time for planting. Much better time than waiting till spring for reasons we talked about last week. We've brushed on them a little bit this week. You've got a longer growing period where those trees can be in the ground, get established before they have to, you know, go through a hot, dry summer, which they're going to have plenty, you know, almost 8 months to put out new roots. There's going to be a lot less maintenance and watering involved on your end. It's going to make your job a lot easier for the most part. You know, a little bit of watering up front, but for the most part, you're just going to have to, you know, you'll be able to sit back and just watch the trees and just kind of keep an eye on them. There's not a, you know, a real vigorous maintenance schedule on your part by planting them in the fall.
Right. And
awesome.
You know,
thank you so much. I'm definitely going to come out Avon Street and get some trees, and I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Hey, appreciate you calling. That was
all
a great
right,
question.
Man. Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, and you know, we'll talk about mid to late October as being, you know, the kind of the kickoff for the fall digging season and everything, but there's a lot of plants that have already been dug that are already in the nursery, and you can go ahead and plant, you know, it's a great time to go ahead and start planting those now. So I wouldn't wait. If there's plants that are available that you like and you want to go ahead and get them in the ground.
And we touch on this every fall, especially some of the beautiful maples and, you know, some of the trees that are going to have so much interest as far as the leaves changing and what, you know, the dramatic beauty that brings to the garden, you know, watching those leaves, you know, on a sugar maple or sunset maple, some of the maples, when they change, I mean, a lot of the trees have so much interest and beauty to them. But how much nicer it is to go ahead and bring those trees home now. You know, you got a couple of weeks to get them established, and then you can take advantage of watching them change, enjoy the colors in your garden at your home instead of coming. You know, a lot of people wait till mid to late October, first part of November, when they're actually, you know, have already changed or they're in the process of changing, and it just kind of shortchanges yourself, in my opinion, just a little bit. Go ahead and get them now, get them in the ground. And
enjoy them in your yard.
Yeah,
instead
enjoy
of
them
ours.
In your yard instead of ours. Don't get me wrong; they look beautiful in the nursery,
and we love it.
But they'll look even better at your place.
That's right.
If you'd like to join the Snow Nose Garden Show, give us a call at 977-1070. Just want to give a quick update on my progress for the Critter Ball. Want to remind people that I'm dancing for the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA Critter Ball to raise money for the Charlottesville SPCA, which is a no-kill shelter here in Charlottesville, and we're raising awareness and money. They've asked me to dance in their Critter Ball competition on October 29th, and I'm taking it very, very seriously. I was in Sam's Club last night, and I ran into a lady, and she told me she had this dog and how scared her dog was with the earthquake, and I told her about the SPCA. She's like, oh, I got my dog at the SPCA, and I said, well, I'm dancing for the Critter Ball, and so I'm telling everyone I can about the Critter Ball. It's a wonderful cause. We're raising money for a wonderful organization. You can donate on my behalf. You can go to, what's the website? Critterball.com, and you can donate right there online. And all the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds, go to the SPCA here locally. And there's just a little line where you enter and which of the dancers' name do you want to donate, and just simply put my name in, Corbin Snow. The proceeds don't go to me, but they get donated in my name, which helps me win the competition. The way it works, for every dollar you donate, I get one vote. And then whoever has the most votes wins the Mirror Ball Trophy. And it's a real Mirror Ball Trophy. It's a big old trophy, and it'll be the people's trophy. I'll give the trophy to you all. I'll display it wherever you want, and we'll share it together. But we're trying to raise money and awareness for the shelter, and I am busting my little hiney to get in shape and dancing twice a week to learn a two-minute routine. Who knew so much work goes into a two-minute little dance routine?
Uh-huh.
But it's been a lot of fun all the way. I'm archiving it. I'm blogging it. You can go to Corbin Rocks, the number 4, Corbin Rocks for Rover, Rover, ROVER.com. You can follow the blog. You can follow us on Facebook. Most importantly, I need donations, and we need to raise awareness and funds for the local SPCA. would like to give a big special thanks and shout out to a few corporate sponsors already. Doubletree has generously donated $1,000. Dixon's Disposal, $1,000. Sammy Snacks has made a $250 donation. ACAC is doing lots of a huge in-kind donation. They're doing club advertising. They're giving me dance space twice a week. So I'd like to thank ACAC. And then a very special thank you to Robin Grimsby and Spin City Dance Studio out in Orange, and to Denise Hood from Creative Juices. She's my marketing team, my liaison, and helping me bring all this to fruition and really doing a lot of legwork and things for not only the company, but for the SPCA. So I appreciate everyone. And Systems 13, Preston Morris over there, he's my he is my confidant and last year's winner.
Cheerleader.
Yeah, he's my cheerleader. He won the competition last year, so he's really holding my hand and showing me how to win this thing. It's Preston Morris over at Systems 13. So a big thank you to my entire team. And you can join my team by logging on to CorbinRocksForRover.com. You can donate right on my website, or go to thecritterball.com and you can donate there. And buy tickets. You can come and watch me dance on October 29th. Can you think of anything funner than that? I can. it's for a great cause, and I'm glad I'm doing it. And Snows is behind me 100%. They better be.
That's right.
If you'd like to join the phone, if you'd like to join our conversation, again, 977-1070. We have just about 5 minutes before the show must end, before Glenn runs us out of the studio.
We always get somebody that calls in right at the end of the show, and we don't have time to put them on, and we always feel bad. So if you've got a question, do it. Call us now. Don't wait till the very end.
Just want to remind people that now is the time. We, you know, with all the rain we've had the last couple of weeks, the ground is soft. We were having a conversation in the office yesterday. This is going to be one of the best fall renovation windows and times that we've had in years, where actually the ground's going to be soft, where you can put the aerator tines in the ground. It's going to penetrate. I mean, you could go out next week and just right. Get great, beautiful plugs out, and the lawns are already bouncing back.
Yes.
Usually we're waiting till October, you know, for lawns starting to turn green again. Well, they're on their way. They're well on their way. They're transitioning. They're putting new growth on. They're turning lush and green. So my hopes, you know, we're scheduled to start lawn renovations next week, in fact. So now is the time to aerate, overseed, and the first application of fertilizer that's recommended by Virginia Tech by VPI is actually next month. So we're just a week away. Next Thursday, your first application of September, October, November, the acronym SUN, you would start that application next week.
To go along with that, the other way that I always think about doing it is, you know, do it on Labor Day, just before Halloween, and then around Thanksgiving. Labor Day is coming up very, very quickly.
Yep, very quickly.
So, you know, this is the time to get out there and get it done.
Here's that caller we were talking about. I got it, Glenn. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Hi. I just had a question about pruning hydrangeas.
Okay.
Is now the time to do it? I have two varieties. I have the old-fashioned variety that, you know, still have blooms on them from the summer, and then I have quite a few of the ones from y'all, those I think they're Ever After or something like that, the reblooming ones.
Yeah,
the endless summer.
Yeah.
When do you take those old blooms off?
Okay, we'll answer that question. Thank you.
Yeah, as far as the, you know, if you're just taking the old spent flower heads off, you can do that anytime. And a lot of people will do them right after, you know, right as they first start to fade, and dry them to kind of preserve them, use them as decorations around the house. They work great even in your
You can do some beautiful arrangements with them.
That's right. But if all you want to do is just take those flower heads off, you can do that anytime. And then you can also go in pretty much anytime, especially now, take off anything that's dead wood, anything that's damaged or diseased down in there. Any of the, you know, the really old heavy woody growth you can take out now, and that will help to invigorate the plant for next spring and really help to promote the good healthy growth for the coming year.
We're just about out of time, down to our last 2 or 3 minutes. No more phone calls, Glenn. I'm not putting the number out there again. Don't worry. Just want to remind people that we're open today until 5. It's the last day of the yard sale. So come out and see what we have. We also have brand new inventory in stock, perennials, annuals. mums, plant materials. So come out to the Garden Center, conveniently located just south of downtown Charlottesville. Come out and see us. Bring us your gardening questions. Facebook us your gardening questions at facebook.com/Snows Garden Center. That's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can post your questions there. But come out and see us at the Garden Center. Want to remind people that we're closed tomorrow and Sundays, as always, as well as Chick-fil-A's closed tomorrow. Did you know that, Norman?
Yes, I did.
So Snows and Chick-fil-A closed tomorrow. Swing by, pick up the Chicken Mini breakfast sandwich, my favorite sandwich in the whole wide world. That's a Chick-fil-A, conveniently located at Fashion Square Mall and 29 in the Lowe's parking lot. That's Chick-fil-A. Mm-mm, good. And don't forget, Corbin rocks for Rover.com. Mark your calendars. What's next month? September 17th, the Corbin Rocks for Rover Flapjack Breakfast at Applebee's. We'll be broadcasting live September 17th at Applebee's. Come out and see us. Come out and eat breakfast with the Snow Nose Garden team. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show.